We've been teaching on keys to the move of God, and we're dealing with the three keys. We were dealing with power, prayer, and prosperity. It's one of the things is dealing with this. I'm going to go over any areas, and we're going to teach. There's parts I was going to go through before, and the Holy Spirit told me to, I just really felt moved to move into this, dealing with the areas from the financial standpoint, money. Because I want you, there, one of the things that prosperity that Christians have a hard time about is they never change the way they think about money and about God. They don't change themselves. They just do it. They think just like they did when they came into the kingdom. Is one of the reasons for that is from a Christian standpoint, even what we call prosperity people teach sort of a very much one-sided approach to it. They don't really look at it from a scriptural. We need to understand God has plan and purpose in what he does. God, and we need to understand, you know, if anything God wants to do in this earth is he wants his will fulfilled, not yours. See, when we get born again, we should take on the will of God. That should become our will. That's part of what we do is growing spiritually, is his will. And say, what does he want? What's his intent and purpose? If God is really and we're interested in his will, then if I am really, then he should be first on the list when it comes to things and what I'm going to do, whether it's financially or whatever. He should be first on the list. It shouldn't be I look at what I'm going through and what I have. That shouldn't be. What I do is he's interested, and you find out from the word, and as we go in and look at this stuff, God is very interested in the earth and his people becoming, you know, in good financial situation. And the purpose of this is to complete the will of God. God does not send money down to the earth. God does not rule the earth except through man. It's what we do here that allows God to fulfill. If I'm not doing his will, whatever it is, whether it's health, whether it's money, whether if I'm not following his will, but I'm just following my will and what seems good to me, God's will not get completed. I've heard these ministers over the years and so many of them, and good ministers, and they'll say this, well, God's going to go ahead and do it whether we do anything or not. Well, when's that going to happen? I haven't seen it yet. But you know what? They say it all the time. It's said, you can turn on your television and people talk like, you know, well, God's going to do what he wants to do. And he said, well, if he is, why didn't he start with Adam and Eve and straighten that one out right there?
Right.
He didn't. We need to understand that in this earth, we have a choice of what we will ourselves to. This is getting born again. You know, it's funny. Like, you know, we were talking to see about bringing people to Christ. People today try to bring people to Christ who do not have the will. They haven't set their will to come to Christ. You need to understand this. You know, a lot of people, even people who get saved, you know, they want what God has, but they really have their own, they want to control their will. My will is going to dominate to do. This is one of the things that Jesus talked about, some things that the Lord, you know, spoke to me about this week. Because the Bible says, you know, like children, it says, such is the kingdom of heaven. And the reason that purpose is, you need to understand, when we're dealing with the areas of children growing up in a family, they so easily submit their will to what the parent wants to, so easily do it. Christians, especially to get to be adults, they don't do that. They are not, they lose that childlike quality of easily submitting their will. They don't do that. They'll say, well, no, I got this problem and I have this. And I know, well, the Bible says yes, but this, hey, I got this here. In other words, they get over. A child somehow thinks that a parent's going to take care of them. The parent's going to look after things. The parent's going to do that. You know, kids don't sit around and, you know, boy, I can do this or that. So, you know, we can have enough to eat or we can do this. They don't think in that manner. They just think that the parent's going to do it. You know, if you don't have that quality with Jesus, you're never going to be very much of a person of faith. You're not going to be much of a person of faith. Now, understand this. A lot of Christians and even the word people would say what I'm saying is true, but that ain't the way they're going to live. Mm-hmm. Many people say, oh, the word's true. Yeah, and I know it. They can quote it, but that ain't what they're going to do. It is because it is not enough. This is what the Lord spoke to me today while I was out running. I was out running, and it was just things that he's talking, because I was meditating on some things about what I'm teaching on, and I was meditating on these things while I was running. It's one of the things is this. He said, you know, hope is this. It's believing God can do things. Faith is this. He will do it. Should I tell you what? Most people, the average Christian, and even among the Spirit-filled people, live in hope all the time, and they call it faith. They think it's so important that they believe God can do, and I believe God can do this to me. That's hope. That's hope. You have to come to the point to know that He will do it. This is what He will do. This is what changes things. This is what changes things. When you come to the point, you got to arrive at the point, a person who believes He will do it, it changes everything about their mindset of things. Everything. He will do this. This is what He's going to do. Number one, you can't believe God will do something and talk in a different manner. He will do that for me. Yep, He'll do this for me. This is what's going to happen. He'll do that. See, when you get to personal, well, we're praying. How many times are we praying and we're believing what they're telling you? I'm in hope. Why are you still praying and believing? When are you going to get the point saying He's going to do it and end that praying and whatever else? See, that must end. You've got to come to that place. In other words, there's got to be a thought and a thinking change. God has wonderful plans in His Word, yet I will guarantee you most Christians, and even in areas of finances, most Christians don't enter in, and even the ministers don't enter in the place to understand what God wants to do for people. They don't understand. They don't. It's number one, what's His plan and His purpose on this? God has a purpose for me to have money, and it isn't for me just to have all kinds of stuff. That's not number one on the list. That's not number one on the list. God wants me to live a good life. He wants me to have money to do things and do stuff. But the fact of it is, for us to have a good life in this earth means God has to be able to take a foothold in things. If He can't take a foothold in me, He's not taking foothold in much around me. And so we need to understand this about ourselves is like this. Financially and stuff, it shouldn't be a thing that we're laboring and working at. Wanda and I'm so serious. From a financial standpoint, we never labor and work at this thing. I mean, we found out a long time ago, this is God's system, it's work. We're not trying to make this work. It's God's plan. It's going to work. And it's me cooperating with it. You know, I'm going to believe He will do it. And I can't say I believe He will do it when my actions are saying I don't think so. I got to take care of me. Do you understand? You got to get this mindset. You got to change and understand. It is God's will for you to prosper. That's what He wants. He wants you to prosper. This is not a thought. This is not something He'd like. It is no different healing. This is not a sideline. Jesus died for you to be able to take care of your needs and every one of His. And see, this is why people will be limited how far they can go by God, how they think about this. Because your faith will determine how far you can go. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if you say, well, yeah, that sounds good. But it comes down to faith. I was listening to a thing that I've heard Randall Greer talk about this so many times, how he got out of prison. But when he got out of prison, but the Lord told him, He said, that you ain't going to get out of prison. You're going to have to believe Me to get out of prison. You know? This isn't something, you know, God don't just pick certain people and He delivers them and He does say, God don't, that isn't what happens. But He said about, the Lord said to him, He said to me about, He said to the Lord about him being in prison, and the Lord said, I didn't put you in prison. He said, you're in prison because you refused My will in your life and you refused the will of your government and that stuff. They told you not to do stuff. You did it anyhow. You put yourself in prison. And I've often heard this where guys in prison, I've had them say this. I was, well, God put me here for a reason. I said, God didn't put you here. You did. You didn't live right. This is for the places that people rebel against good. Right. So you end up, well, I can say this to many Christians. You've ended up in problems you're in. You did it. God didn't put you through it to put you there. You did a good job. Amen. You know, I can tell you the truth. I know I put myself in some problems. what I learned is God didn't put me there. It's the things that I do. We get this one. But he talked about changing his. The Lord said to him, you don't have an ounce of faith to get out of prison. And he said, he checked himself and he said, you know, you're exactly, he said, Lord, you're right. He said, I don't have an ounce of faith. See, he could quote scriptures. That don't mean you have faith.
Amen.
God, you can quote some scriptures and you know where they're at. That don't mean you have faith. If you are not, he realized he didn't have a place. He never come to a place where he knows he's getting out a Christian. He said he had hopes of getting out. He'd like that to happen. Hope, you need to understand, your hopes have no substance to them. And by having no substance, the only way God could ever do something for you in that is through mercy. He couldn't do it because you don't have faith. Faith is what takes hope and brings it into a reality. So he said, this is what the Lord told him to do. You got to get faith. So the Lord showed him scriptures to stand on. And the Lord told him, you need to take these scriptures and you need to walk around. You need to talk these. So he started. He said he went out in the yard in the prison. He's allowed to go out there. He said for 3 hours he walked around there just quoting these scriptures over and over to himself, over and over. He said when he first went out and did it, he said he's walking around and he's just over and over these scriptures. He's going over and over. He's saying, now you think he's out there for 3 hours. He said, you know, for the first couple hours I'm out there, he said, all I'm getting is a dried mouth. But he said, I'm walking around. God said to these scriptures. And I thought, he said, I got to get these things in me. I got to get him. And he said, it was after about 3 hours, all of a sudden it dawned on me that this is true. You know, most people that hear me teach and preach, they sit there, they think they hear something good said. It ain't in them.
Amen.
And they walk out and think, oh, we're going to go do that. No, no, it took me a long time to get them in me, and you're going to have to too. You ain't going to hear some things a few times, hear a scripture. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to start to put that to work, and you're going to have to start saying that. If you don't speak scriptures to yourself, you're never going to be much of a person of faith.
Amen.
You're not going to arrive the place you want to be. You've got to get them in. I mean, I go out and run, and I'm meditating on scriptures, and I'm talking to myself about scriptures, things that God said. Why? Because I want that thing to become real to me. Not just something in the, yeah, well, God said, no, I want it where I know I can take that thing and I can stand on it.
Yeah.
That's mine. As long as it stays on the pages of the books and it's on somebody else's mouth, it ain't yours. Get it to the point where it's yours. And this is what we want to do in looking at this. We're going to go to this thing. Because God has a plan, and I call it here the great transfer. God has a plan of great transfer. And we need to get a picture of this thing. And we're going to go over tonight. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 11, we talked about this before. It says, now all these things happened to them, speaking of Israel as examples, as they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come. The things that God did, these are pictures and things to us of how God operates and works. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11. So these things are written to us for this. So in other words, God is speaking to us in these things. What is he saying? See, you can turn around and get a revelation on a scripture where you can tell its purpose and what you're supposed to do with, or you can just see what it says and you can come up with your idea of what you think it is. So you need a revelation on scripture. There's like a lot of things that I studied years ago that I look at today. They're a whole lot different to me what they were back yonder. I had a little piece of revelation here, a little piece of revelation, and now I look at him and think, my God, you know, I was seeing a tiny spot in there, and it was good. It was a revelation from God, but I sure had no depth in it. And so you want to get some depth. I want to go over and look at Exodus in the 3rd chapter, because we want to talk about something we talked about last time, about dealing in the areas of prosperity. And this has Israel coming out of Egypt, because I want you to get this in this picture. What is this thing showing us? This is a picture. This is a type and shadow of salvation, of our new birth. It couldn't be written for us if it is not about, and it doesn't mean, it isn't speaking about us and our, the direction we're going. It is about us. Egypt was a type of the land of sin where you and I came out of. You came out of the land of sin. You were in Satan's kingdom. That's the one. Egypt is a place you want to leave. This is why salvation. Many Christians, people, we lead people to Christ and let them live in Egypt. They never leave Egypt. Many Christians, Man, they might every once in a while cross over, you know, the Red Sea, but they head back all the time. They're heading back over. They never leave there. This is a picture of salvation. This is leaving the kingdom. Understand this picture. God's taking Israel out of this land of sin. We need to understand this. When we go over and look at the land of Canaan was not a picture of heaven. See, people, there's even Christian songs and they sing, you know, looking across to Jordan and they're talking about we're going to cross Jordan to go to heaven. No, you're not. They went in, when you go to heaven, there's no fights or battles going on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, when they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea. And that was a type of baptism. And they went across another river, was called the Jordan, which was a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of going into the land of Canaan. They're going in there, and this is with us. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost because you're in this land, you have enemies. This is not about you're in a place where nothing's going to happen, everything, you get saved, and it's just wonderful. No, it's not. You're in the land where there's trouble, and Jesus overcame it. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You have the authority to rule and reign here. It isn't, you know, many Christians don't walk or live in the authority to rule and reign, and that's why the devil rules and reigns. That's just why he does. Because it is required of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live in a victory in this land.
Amen.
It's a requirement. It's not, if people don't want it, that's fine. You know? But you know, the people with the baptism ain't going to keep them out of trouble all the time.
That's right.
Yep. We need to understand, the baptism is about you overcoming. And I found this out. When I got baptism of the Holy Spirit, I stepped in a place of victory I never had in life. I stepped into a place there was a supernatural power operating in me that I had never known before. I did not know. I started operating, understanding things that I never understood before or comprehended because this manifestation in me made me see things differently. It made me see things. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand this. This is the power of God working through the Christian to carry out the will of God. It is impossible for any Christian who's not baptized in the Holy Ghost to fulfill perfectly the will of God. You cannot. Because it requires God's power. You cannot do it in yours. Being saved ain't enough. Wouldn't it be stupid? If it was, why would we, what would be the whole point of this? So you need to get in your thinking. So when you think of these people are coming out of this land, they're coming out of this land. God has a purpose and plan for us just like He did with them. And they were types and shadows of us. See, God brought them out of the land of sin. But you know what? They didn't leave the land of sin. The land of sin was still in. Did you ever notice this? He could take the kids in the land, but not the adults. It's the same today. It's the same today. A lot of Christian adults, even spirit-filled Christian adults, they're not gonna follow and walk in this thing. They're not gonna, you know, they still got a lot of Egypt. I'm gonna tell you what, it may take some work to get, see, I had 30 years of Egypt. It took some major work to get Egypt out of it. It take major work. It took down to the things where I get to the point where the Word of God says it, it's true. I don't care what anybody else says about it.
Amen.
See, and you got to come to that. You got to come to the place what you believe is true, that you don't even care even with your family what they say about it. You're going to follow it and not give a rip what they say about it. And we're not going to pet them and pat them trying to keep them happy.
Amen. Preach.
Because I got to take care of all them. If God can't take care of them, don't call Ed. Because Ed can't take care of me.
That's right.
See, we're to walk in this place, and this is what we have to see. We need to invite people to a place of the supernatural. You want to keep living, you just want to go to church and do something, this ain't the land that I'm, you know, this ain't the place I'm talking about.
Amen.
This is about living here, going to a place that's actually supernatural. Here's one thing it is. I always loved the supernatural from the time I was young. I liked it. I always looked at the things. See, I always thought the world had more to offer. And they did because Christians had nothing to offer. The Christians, we got saved and we're just down here. I'm Pilgrim's Progress. I got a pack on my back and I'm just weary walking through the land. That's, you know, the number one book of the church, Pilgrim's Progress. We're just trying to get through down here and life's a darn hard, you know, and that stuff. And we're not living like we have any kind of victory.
Amen.
We're not living the same point. You know, that Jesus is Lord. And you know, if you kill me, I get to go to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can kill me with a smile.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter. But living in this place, people are looking at it, and this, you need to understand, people today are drawn to the supernatural. That's why you go to the TV, online, all this kind of stuff. They got all these shows about people, you know, trying to find ghosts and doing all. This is why. Because the church offers nothing.
That's right.
People are looking to the supernatural. They want something. They know there's an unseen realm that the church don't know about.
Amen.
That they say they do, but they don't live like it's true. They don't live like there's a supernatural realm. We don't walk like there's a super, we gotta walk like, I'm gonna tell you, what I don't see is more important to me than what I see.
Amen. Preach.
And so we need to know this. We're looking at these people, they are leaving this land. What is God doing? No. Number one, to leave that land, God destroys everything in that land used to hold them. That's what God did through Jesus. God destroyed Satan and all that he had that held man. He couldn't hold you. That's what happened here. Egypt came to the point, the Pharaoh was like the devil. I'm holding on till everything I have I can't hold on to anymore. This is what God did to Satan. He stripped him of everything. He stripped him of it all. Why? So you can walk free. This is what he did.
Amen.
See, this is a picture of the same. This is a picture of salvation. This is what it is. See, you got to be able to identify these things. When you read the Bible, quit just reading stories. See Revelation. What's the revelation? Not the story. What's the example? What's it trying to tell me? Not just nice story. It's what God's telling me that I can walk in victory.
Amen.
Is it speaking victory to me, or is it really neat what God did to somebody else? I'm sorry, don't work for me. It ain't reading it. I tell you, so what do I want it for? Don't waste my time. I got too much going on to waste my time on fantasy. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christianity's fantasy. It's built on fantasy, different you know, things from the Bible, stories, but people don't know what they mean, and so they live a fantasy life thinking they know what God wants and don't have a clue what God wants.
Amen.
So you've been delivered. You've been to everything that Satan had. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ stripped him of his armor, of what all he had. He stripped him. He's given you authority over him. That's what you got.
Amen.
When they went across and they were baptized, which is a type of salvation, not water baptism. It was a type of salvation. What happened to the enemy when he tried to enter that place? He drowned. You're completely free. Okay? Let's start living that one.
Amen.
Start living. Don't be what Israel is. Get to the other side and in 3 days you're griping because there's no water. God did all that deliverance and they think that he can't provide a drink of water. Us Christians do that all the time. They'll tell, oh, God is so good. And the littlest thing happens and they're whining. And they're just, no, God can't take care of it. No, you don't understand, you know. You don't understand, God, what we're going through here. You don't understand. You don't see my kids, how much they need help. Yes, if they can get your hands off of it, he'll get them help. That's how it works. God's a deliverer. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. He's a deliverer. Hallelujah. So the children of Israel came across. God did all those spectacular things, and it's amazing in no time where those people went. But we need to see this. When he brought them out of the land, how did he bring them out? Well, we've read this before, so I want you to see it from this light of what he did. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 says, so he said, I'll stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in the midst. And after that, he will let you go. And he said, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her home, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now I want you to see this. And we read before where it says in Psalm 105:37 says this, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes. You need to understand when he brought them out. See, we're delivered from the curse of the law. And what one of the things of the curse is poverty. When he brought them out, he delivered them from poverty. That's what he did. In other words, What the enemy held away from them, the enemy had to give up to them. See, I hope you get a revelation of this. Most Christians don't have a revelation of this. They still think the devil's running the show. They look at around sinners that are rich and they criticize them and what they're doing and everything. We're going to find out in this, you need to stop doing that. If you do that kind of stuff, your place where you work and your boss, I don't care if it's a heathen, you knock it off and you're talking and stuff and whatever, you know, go ahead and criticize for yourself because God has a plan and the church has never entered into it. And the scripture's got it, but people don't enter into it. And so we want to learn to do this. Now, one of the things I want you to get a hold of this, when God brought the children out of this land, He did not give them all that stuff for all themselves. Because when He got them out there, see, God is setting people free. When Moses went to Pharaoh, God said this to him, tell Pharaoh to let the people go. They want to go out into the desert and they want to sacrifice to me. In other words, they're going out to worship me. They're going to cross over, leave Egypt, and go out and worship. And you need to understand. In other words, you can't worship God in Egypt. See, a lot of Christians think you can. They try to worship. They live in Egypt, and they're over there trying to worship God. And they're talking about, no, you got to leave Egypt to worship God. You can't. God don't hear worship in Egypt. You got to leave Egypt. You got to go outside there. Pharaoh, see, this is they're going out to worship. Now understand, you say, well, why is he doing it, going to worship? Because this is the place where God is going to lay down to Israel, just like in the church. The word tells us what we do to worship God with them. See, he's going to build a tabernacle. We are God's tabernacle, or we are God's house. That's what we are. They're going to go out there, and you know the first thing God's going to ask them for? You come here and there's this group we have. We're going to have a priesthood. We're going to build this tabernacle. We're going to have a priesthood. And this one group in Israel, they're going to, under Levi, they're going to be the Levitical law. This is the one actually that Moses was under. Where the priesthood come out of is what he was born into. And his brother is going to be the high priest. And the Levites are this. These are the ones that the people, God tells them, they're going to have to tithe to. Their job is to take care of the priesthood who's going to stand before God for them in worship. See, they didn't come out. They didn't get all that money for themselves. God's going to have them too. Give silver and gold and all these different fabrics, all this thing to build this tabernacle. See, God didn't make them rich just for them. He had a purpose in it. He had a purpose. You need to understand that God is first in His purpose. What do I do? You know, I've learned this. You know, I get money. The first thing is I don't even think of anything else. It's what I'm going to give to God. That's first on top of the list. I don't even think any different. Why? Because that's the purpose of me having money. That's my purpose. If I'm not following that purpose, I'm not in the will of God. We got to get around. This is my purpose. My purpose is to do the will of God. That's what it is. It's number one. When I'm doing the will of God, I'm the blessed, best, blessed guy in town. See, if you're struggling through this, it's because you don't believe you're blessed yet. You don't believe that. Now I'm just saying, you don't believe it. Don't get the scripture out and meditate on it till you believe it.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm the blessed guy.
Hallelujah.
I'm blessed. I say, and I was blessed when I didn't look like I was blessed.
Amen.
It didn't seem like I was blessed, but I don't care. In any situation, whatever Wanda and I were started off, we gave to God first. I don't care how it seemed for us. We gave to God first. And we proved it out over the years. This thing works.
Amen.
This thing works. This thing works. But you know what? You got to do it. You can sit around and talk about it and say, yeah. No, you do it. You start to live it. See, this is how you live in the areas of peace and rest. You can't not do the will of God and have peace and rest. You ain't going to have it. Faith is the place of rest and peace. So you can't not do the will of God and have rest and peace. You won't have that. So you can be sitting there and it looks like trouble's at your door, but you're in faith. And you know what? You're in rest and peace. Why? God's going to take care of this. It's going to be all right. We're good. We're good.
Amen.
This is what we're going to do. See, don't go tell other people how good God is and how God will take care of you in faith when you don't follow.
Amen.
See, it's one thing. See, we taught, it's like with us. We taught our kids, given this when they were little. You know, if our kids, it's just like myself. I get a gift from someone. Somebody gives me money. First thing is off the top. God gets. Mm-hmm. I don't say, this is mine. No, it isn't. This is my special gift. This is part of my, what I get. Amen. And whenever I get, God gets.
Amen.
This is what it does. We taught our children. Our children didn't get money and we gave them money to give. They got money. We taught them that they want to be blessed. They're going to have to give. For the time they were kids, they never thought of anything. They got something. You know, God had his share. Mm-hmm. See, your kids ain't taught that because you didn't teach them. Now understand, they know this. They know you've trained them to take care of themselves, and then you have an expectation that they ought to grow up to be something. Why would you have that expectation? They weren't taught. See, our kids never fought with that stuff. They never did. Why? Because that's the way they were trained. You know, my parents trained us in certain ways. And you know what? We just grew up to be that. That's the way we were trained. And so there's things you just follow in line. People have an expectation for somebody to fall in line. So they've never been trained or taught. And have an expectation of it. See, we need to get how important this is. Your faith ain't just about you. Don't tell your kids you believe God is really good and they watch you not follow it. And even if they don't see you, it will affect them if you don't follow it. Since we taught the kids, and I mean, that's what they just knew. They got stuff. They get, and you know what? And it was easy. To them, it was no big deal at all over this thing. It was no big deal. See, they were kids. Well, Mom and Dad said, this is the way you do it. And we told them, hey, this is how God blesses us, and this is what you do. And they want to be in what Mom and Dad are doing and blessing that stuff. I watch Christians today. They don't change their kids in this stuff. Their kids get money and it's all their money. And they think they're going to grow up. It's like the Lord told me when Wanda and I, we took over a youth ministry in a church. And I said to the Lord about money. And the Lord said, do you know how church is today? You know, selling stuff all the time and doing dinners and doing raising money. He said, because when you're in a youth group, that's what they taught the youth groups to do. Sell stuff, do things to raise money. And he said, so when they got older, they took over the church. That's the way you get money. So they didn't give. They're running around trying to sell stuff to get other people's stuff. See, we got all this stuff we got today, and it's in the church, and it's deep-seated in the church, and they swear it's God. And it ain't God at all. It ain't how God works. But people have bought it, you know. You know. I mean, the churches, you know, you go to them, I mean, churches, and they started off with having bookstores. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that bookstore. But next thing you know, they're selling jewelry. They're selling all kinds of t-shirts, every kind of thing, doing all this stuff. Oh, Ronnie, yeah, you put a scripture on it, then you can have the Christian supermarket, you know. We just go do that, and we're making money for the church. We get all this stuff. We get all these junk and tricky trinkets and all these stuff and special bookmarks. Boy, that'll save you. Sure enough. And then, you know what? They're doing, selling. Well, we're making, this is all good things. And you know, it's just like ministries. You know, you give me a gift, we'll give you this back. That ain't given. Given is not, I don't expect a thing back.
Amen.
You know, if you have to get something before you give it, well, I'm going to tell you what, you a heathen anyhow. So it just, and the church is full of them. You know, they'll buy, you know, we'll sell you this ring and it has a chip of the stone is from, you know, the tomb where Jesus is buried. Heck, we don't even know if that's the real tomb. You know, but people will buy it from a ministry and they'll pay. If you give $500, we'll give you this. And people got it. Oh my God, we'll get you a little cross to wear and it has a little chip of that stone. And surely you'll be real spiritual then. I went to a meeting and the minister was there selling Bibles, you know. I said, well, you know, Bible to study Bible, that's fine. He wants to sell a study Bible. But he turned around, he would autograph it for you for $50. And I thought, my word, you could probably end up in hell over that, you stupid idiot. Who cares about you and my Bible? You're the deathly guy I don't want touching my Bible. Your autograph. Dear God. Hey, loads of big name ministers do that. Wow, the love of money is the root of all evil. And money, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of evil in the church. If they spend as much time in the Word as they do with all this other stuff, people could try, God could do wonderful, great, miraculous things. And He has a plan, and we want to look at this. These people, we got to get it in our minds. God had a plan for these people, and God had the plan for these folks when they came out, that God was going to put things into their hands. This is part of salvation. This is part of blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. See, when they come out, they were redeemed from the curse. And one of the things, why? They're living over there in poverty. They're having trouble making ends meet. You know, they're working, slaving away. And see, this is the land of sin, is a land of slavery. And you come out of there, and God makes them rich. So see, you know what? You are rich. When are you going to act like? You've been blessed. See, so you start acting like you're blessed. See, this is one thing. Have no fear to give to God's work. Why? Because I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And you know what? I learned to do that. When Wanda and I, man, we got done with our giving. We'd have enough to pay our bills and wasn't much of anything left. But we always talk like, man, we're blessed, man. We just thought it was exciting because before that, we'd have never thought we'd have been able to give. We'd have thought we'd never have enough to take care of ourselves after it was over. I'm going to say this to you. The more money you make, if you live over toward the flesh, it's going to be harder for you to give.
That's right. That's right.
The more money you make, it'll be harder for you to give. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you live over toward the flesh side, you're just going to buy lots you don't need. You won't put God first, you'll put you first. Because you don't believe He can give you all that good stuff you'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And He gave us a lot of good stuff that we didn't have to borrow or anything for it to get it. We could get it. We could afford to get it. You might have got it before us, but we got it without having to charge it. We got it because we had the money to pay for it. I'll tell you, folks. See, God has a system, and people need to learn to follow it. And it takes time. You got to develop in this system. Because it is contrary to the world. You think, well, you're not going to have. You know, you get a lot of people today. I'm so glad, like Juan and I have took the time building ourselves and healing and stuff. Things, because see, people don't. And I watch as people get older and they've walked in their Christian life and they've never developed in this stuff. And life don't get pretty at the end for them. You know, go look and they can't make enough handicapped parking spaces. They can't. See, they get to the end of life. It's, you know, I've heard people say this all the time. Christians say, well, you know, I want to have fun when I'm younger because you get older. I want to travel now because I'm not going to be able to travel when I get older. Mm-hmm. Christians say that. And you won't be able to. Don't worry.
That's right.
You ain't going to be able to do it because you can't get your wheelchair on everything you want to go to. You can't get, I'm telling you, you can't take your walk. You can't go do stuff.
That's right.
You know, you have a lot of places you can't go to. A lot of things you can't enjoy because you can't walk long enough to get at anything. But see, you say that. People say those things. And I listen to Christians say that kind of stuff. You know, do these things while you're young. You can't while you're old. I'm sorry, I ain't got old yet. So you got to get in your mind and get in the way of thinking. How you see, we never got along with that thing. We're going to do stuff. You know?
Amen.
See, this is prosperity. You don't,
yes.
People don't, this is redeemed from the curse. Most Christians, and even spiritual Christians, talk the curse. They say, they get in conversations. I don't get in people's conversation. Well, you get older and you have this and that. I just keep my mouth shut and let them talk. I don't enter the conversation. Go ahead and do what you want. Say what you want. I ain't going to try to change the fool's mind.
Amen.
Because it'll take about 27 hours of teaching to get them to try to turn around. And you know, you just don't have that much time. You can't throw one scripture at them because they'll forget it before you ever walked away. They have filled themselves with things and say, don't do it. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Speak your future that you want to have. You don't have to get sick to die. You could just leave if you'd like.
That's right.
Use your faith. Brother Hagin said he was going to leave when he got satisfied. I'm going to leave when I get satisfied.
Amen.
I'm not going to leave when I get my walker.
Yeah,
Hallelujah. I want to look at something else. We'll look at Joshua here. Turn to Joshua, the sixth chapter. The children of Israel came out. The children of Israel is going to enter the land. This is a miraculous thing that's going to happen in entering the land. They're coming out. They get to their cross from Jericho. Remember, they were supposed to have been here a long, long time ago, over 40 years before they were supposed to be here to go over to Jericho. But because of the Christians that couldn't get Egypt out of them, I'm going to tell you what, it's happening today. You need to understand this. Christians who don't walk and follow God hold everybody back. We don't teach it. These are examples to us. Everybody's the righteous. We have Joshua and Caleb. Just think about this. Out of from 20 years old and up, out of a group of people that they say could have been over a million people, only two men from 20 years old and up had faith in God. All of them came out and saw all the miracles. God, I don't care what you've seen. I don't care if you went to Benny Hinn's meeting and you saw 5,000 people get healed. That don't mean you have any faith for nothing. They saw greater miracles than you did. And what did it do for them? Nothing. God came across and gave them the word. They never listened to it. He said, I'm giving you this land. I give you this land. No, this thing belongs to you. Oh, wherever you set your foot, it's going to be yours. And you know what? They get there and say, we can't do that. He gave them the word. And you know what? Joshua and Caleb kept confessing that word. And so when they got there and they said, what's going to happen? And they said what the word said, the rest of the crowd, they never took the time to walk around and confess that word. They heard it preached to them, but it was never theirs. See, this is what I learned. I've read the Old Testament and I learned this. Never follow the crowd, even in Christianity. Never follow the crowd. The crowd... The crowd usually has Egypt in it. Look at Jesus. All that he did went around and did. How big of a crowd did he have? It's what happens. But anyhow, so they're across. They're going to go into the land. God told him. God says to Joshua, here's what you're going to do. Now, it's funny because God talks to this man and this guy's in charge. God put him in charge. They're going to have to obey the guy that God put in charge. This is what God said to do. We're going to go out there. We're going to do something really spectacular. And when we do it, it's going to seem insane and crazy. We're going to go out here for 7 days, and we're going to go out here and do little marches around Jericho. Now, Jericho was a huge wall, enormous. Wall of Jericho. I think he said they could put like three chariots or something on the wall, could ride around side by side on top of the wall. I mean, this is a good wall. You know, this is not some little thing. This wall, Jericho, it's a major thing. So you know what God do? God's taking these folks. He's had time out there working on them. But listen to this. He's 40 years working on the young next generation. 40 years working on them. See, he didn't have that time with those ones. Those ones were living in Egypt. They ended up following the Egyptians, and they didn't follow Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They got a lot of Egypt in them. They got Egypt in them. Well, this crew coming out, you know what? This group out of here is tired of the desert. They're tired of wilderness living. They don't like it no more. This wilderness, they got out there and their sin and stuff got into, things happened. They saw the judgments against them out there for the things that happened against their fathers. They watched the judgments that fell out there. So they get down here, and this is an interesting thing. I mean, you get Joshua said, this is what God told us to do. We're going to go down here now silent. Everybody keep your blab mouth shut. Say, well, man, you're going to take Americans and do this. We're going to walk around the wall. Everybody quiet. You say nothing. Now, can you imagine these guys on the wall? You know, these soldiers are on the wall. And you go out there and you walk around the wall. Everybody goes out and walks around the thing and goes back. They do this 6 days in a row. And the seventh day, they're going to go out around there. They're going to walk 7 times around that thing. And then, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to have to listen to the people in charge. And it's interesting because really the people in charge are the priests out there, Joshua's son. They're going to do something. When they do something, then everybody else gets to do something. So we're going to follow the leaders, you know. See, in the church world today, if they paid a little bit, if the ministry took its place in people, well, a lot of times the ministry doesn't take its place because the people don't pay attention to the ministry. And what happens is they could do some things and that God set in motion to do. You know, God has this habit of telling somebody something and they pass it on. It's just, this is why he put ministers out here. See, it isn't, you can't have faith in God and not have faith in the people if you don't know that the person's talking from God. I've had people come into our church and tell me, yeah, I know God's using you and that, but they won't listen to a thing I say. I've watched that so much all the time, you know. People think they got choices about things. If you know God's talking, you best line up. People say, I want to hear from God. I say, no, you don't. Because a man's going to say it. A man or a woman's going to speak it to you. You may not be happy. Oh, keep smiling. Hallelujah. Well, here we find this out. Here's what took place. Now look, it says, and the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. See, the trumpets were blown by the priests, and then he said, okay, now you can open your big mouths. Shout! I'm going to give you a little revelation here that will help you. One of the reasons many times Christians don't really go anywhere in their faith is they have no shout. They're too quiet, too plain, calm. They're too religious. You need to get a shout. You need to get the glory to God. You know, so I preach, I tell you, I can get excited.
Amen.
I don't see how you can get anointing going, you don't get excited. I get excited.
That's right.
See, and if you're just quiet, you just sit there and nothing goes on, there's something wrong. See, God can't be doing good and me not cheering, you know. You know, I get my pom-poms out and put on my little skirt and woo-hoo, we're going to cheer them on, you know. We're going to do it. Hallelujah. Me and Jesus say, you look like a fool. Thank God. I'm a fool for Jesus. Let me alone.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They got the shout. Now it says, so in verse 20, read this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just go down to verse 20. It says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now in verse 24 says this. Verse 21, it says, verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. See, that makes people nervous. But you know, what's that an illustration to us? You know, this is about the world. This is about the world. We need to know, we have allowed the world, we have moved in, this is one of the things today, to reach the world, the church does this, to reach the world, we think we become more like them. We go along with more of what they want, they'll like us and come in. You know, all they did is make weak, sick Christians.
That's right.
Because we've joined the side that's under the curse.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Say, no, you come to our side. Why? You gotta destroy all this. You can't live with it and put up with it.
Amen.
Like I say, you know, you ain't bringing hell into my house. I don't give my kids. You ain't bringing hell into my house. That will never be allowed. Why? Because I'll stay strong in faith.
Amen.
I'm not let them come and make me sick. Amen. I'm not let them come bring the curse to my house. We ain't going there. Now listen to this. Verse 24. But they burned the city, and all that was in it was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now, what is this the picture of? The first place. They enter. Who gets the first money? That's right. This is easy to figure out, isn't it? But most people never see it like that. They don't understand. This is about Ed. See, whatever get, the first comes to God. See, this speaks to Ed. The first comes to God. See, God says you can have this land. We as Christians, you know, we've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heaven. We get it. Why would we act like, I got to keep it all so, you know, God can't take care of me? See, they got a whole land of all this stuff God's going to give to them, and God, why God's teaching them something. You always put Him first. See, most Christians don't even know what communion's about. Communion's, Jesus said, do it. All of you do this, do it in remembrance of me. But people can go take communion and walk out the door and forget. We do it to remind ourselves of what's right, the things to do. We understand this is important. It's easy to get religious. It is the easiest thing in the world to get religious. You get over, well, I'm practicing this and I'm practicing. You can practice good things, but they might mean another thing to you. It isn't about practicing things. It's the meaning of it. What is it in my life? What does this do? What does this do for me? So these people went in. So, you know, the wall fell. This is an absolute miracle. In other words, God takes them. The first thing He does, they have crossed the Jordan River. And the first thing is the greatest walled city in the land. The walls fall flat. See what happens in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They just crossed the Jordan. Did they do anything by their power? Did they have to go fight that army? Did they have to go over there? No. Thems was licked. They came over in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And the enemy's defeated.
Amen.
I'm not trying to defeat the devil. The devil is defeated. You know, Apostle Paul wrote about in Ephesians. He said, put on the whole armor of God. You got armor you put on? It's, you know, all the armor is the word. That's what it is. All is about the word. Put it in your helmet. Helmet your head, your mind. Put the word. Put it around you. Put it around your way. Put the weapon. And it says, you know, above all, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But it says, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're wrestling, we're not going against an army of people. Satan is already defeated. We put on, it says, when you've done everything, really fight him. No, he says, when you've done everything, stand. He can't take you. You've been fighting and he's been whooping you all the time. We're not fighting. Once we know the word and we stood on it, the victory is ours.
Amen.
He said, stand. See, the sword of Spirit, I speak the word. Isn't that a tough one? I really got to fight this out. No, you just speak the word. The devil will carry on doing it. No, I just speak the word. Hallelujah. You just maintain your place. You stand there in your faith. Have the shield of faith. It says it will stop every fiery dart or every fiery missile, depending on what translation it is, of the devil. Every one. Don't say, some get through, some may. No, it said every one of them, faith will stop. See, he comes along, he'll try to scare you with poverty. He'll try to get you to move off. Well, I can't do this, God. Well, you know, oh yeah, I know what the Bible says, but you don't know my situation. I don't stand. I threw my shield down. I'm a target. You see, I can't do that. Well, don't you know? But you know, my stomach's been bothering me, but you don't. No, you stand. When you've done all, you stand. See, I said, devil, I don't care what you're trying to do. You can't take me out. The shield of faith? Why? It's what I believe. That's the shield. I believe. By his stripes, I was healed. The devil's saying, no, you're not. Say, yeah, you know, you might be right. I'm not feeling so good. You know. But God had a plan for them. And God's plan, He's teaching them as they go along. He's teaching them. He's teaching us part. There's things that belong to Him. If you go on and look at times and you look at God and Israel, whenever Israel touched the things of God, they were in big trouble. Big trouble. There's things, and we need to understand this as Christians. There's things that belong to God. There's things that belong to God. And those things you don't touch, they're His. There's things, you know, it's people don't, we don't walk in the light of a lot of these things and that stuff today. There's too much that Christians don't treat things as sacred anymore. Things of God. They, can the areas of holiness and things. People don't. They don't hold things, of great value. You know, it's one thing, it's just, I'm amazed how shallow so much Christianity is concerning the Word of God. It's not kept as a treasure. It is. It's a phenomenal thing. It's absolutely the Word of God in itself. We got Bibles and four or five of them in our home, or six, or you know how many? Two dozen. We'll have all these things around him. And I'm going to tell you what, they sit a lot. And they're not, it's for people. People don't, the importance of God's Word. They get into situations, they start looking to all kinds of things and trying to figure things out. And here we have God's Word. We have God's Word of what He said. And people trying to figure things out say, no, that the first thing people don't go to is the Word. Christians, they don't go to the Word. First thing, they run into a problem. You know, God is something we do after we go to the doctor. Then we find out, no, this ain't going to work. So now, pray for me. I'm going to tell you something. You can't keep doing that and have it work. You know, I've always asked God first. I've always asked God. When I had blood clot in my lung for a period of time, I was able to keep that the pain off and that stuff from it, but it kind of got worse. But I didn't go in the hospital until I first talked to God about that. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? See, He has a voice in my life. Yeah, but you're in a lot of pain. You need to use good sense. I did. I talked to God first. I got better sense than 90% of people, 99% of people. I got better sense. I talked to God first. See, I found out from Him what I should do. I've done that. I've learned doing that. I talked to God about it. See, sometimes you need to know. It's just... I've had it, you know, when I had tore a ligament in my foot for us the day before going on the mission trip. I didn't go. In fact, I had no plans of going into the hospital. My foot blew up and painful. It really hurt. But praise God, I'm just believing God. Amen. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go in and go to the emergency room. And I said, well, yeah, what? Do you want me to go to the emergency? Yeah, I want you to go to the emergency room. You know, God has purpose in things. But see, we're so brilliant. We don't ask Him. We follow our brilliance. And I said, go? And He said, yeah. And I said, well, you know, this foot's blown up like crazy. I can't exactly drive with this foot. And so I called Wanda, and she came home, and she took me in. And I thought, you know, I go in. And so, you know, I go in and find out. They go around, they check this thing, and they tell me what, you know, they said, you know what, you tore a ligament in your foot and it blew it up and all this kind of stuff. And I found this out after seeing them, they couldn't do a thing for me. That's what I thought. I thought, what is God doing? You see, I'm over in this thing. What's God doing? Well, I'm just going to tell you, God didn't make this happen, but God's going to use it. God's going to use this thing. And He used it. I ended up getting healed, but they gave me this boot thing that I said I could put on. It had these things that you put, these little cold pack jobs in it. And I told them, I said, I'm going on a mission trip down to Mexico. They said, yeah, you can go, but you got to keep your foot propped up all the time. I thought, yeah, well, you ain't never been on a plane, have you? You don't keep your foot propped up. That's the thing. I found in hospitals, doctors and nurses sometimes are, you know, almost think they were never educated in their life. And so I'm going to go. But you know, I got a deliverance of healing. And I said to the Lord after I got healed, because I wasn't going to even take a thing with me. He told me to put that boot in my suitcase. I thought, well, Lord, I can't wear that stupid thing anyhow. And I can't, I mean, wear that dumb thing. And he put it in your suitcase. So after I got healed and delivered, he told me on the plane, he said, I wanted you to bring it along. He said, you give your testimony and tell people what I did for you and show them that. This was yesterday. This is where I was at yesterday. God delivered me. See, people never converse with God. They never talk. We go on our path and we go on our thing. No, find out. He has purpose, what He wanted to do. He didn't cause any of that to happen. The devil did, but He's going to use it to show people how wonderful He is to His people. And see, you need to get over and not thinking. See, why did God take those people down there? Why does He drag them the first? This is first time out. He takes them down to the baddest place in town. I'm just going to tell you, God changes not. See, if you're always trying to sidestep the problems and that stuff of life, you're always trying to do that, you ain't going far. God will take you into the baddest place in town. The baddest town. He will put you there. Why? So He can deliverance. Don't say you're spirit-filled and you won't go to where you need to be spirit-filled. He'll take you to places you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. He'll take you to places. He'll do things. This is the way he does it. He took them out. Now think of that. These people aren't saved, yet he could take them there and they obeyed him. Why would we be afraid? Think about that. See, this is why. Take the word and meditate on it till you see that that's true.
Amen.
That no matter what goes on, God can take care of me. God will look after me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. God will take. See, meditate on the word. Don't go around and try to act like you have faith and do things when you have not got to the place where you know for sure that you can stand. No matter what. I don't care what it looks like. No matter what happens. So when I had every symptom of that heart attack can have, the word was greater in me than what happened to me. I had every symptom of whatever it was. But you know what? I had never took the time of putting symptoms into me. I took time of putting the word into me. This is what I found out were most Christians' failures. They have put all the symptoms and everything of their problems have been in them and in them and in them and in them. And when something comes, whatever's in you the biggest is what blows up when the problem happens. That's what comes up. You see, health and healing. Do you know, it's just like with me. I mean, when I go out and run, I run. I think, and I talk to God. Praise God. The Lord's the strength of my life. I talk about my strength and my health and things all the time. I talk about those things. That's important to me. See, what's important to you? We live in a society in America where most of Christianity, what's important to them is their leisure. And then when leisure time comes, the devil done stole their money with the sickness and everything else, and they ain't got no money to pay to go have the good leisure. The devil's still killing to destroy it. And you know what? They're just getting by. They're getting by. They can't do the will of God. They can't. And it goes along. No. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord told me, he said, the number one thing he wanted me to have and his people to have, he said, his people, is to be healed. So I put that on the top of Ed's list. And I say that to people. You guys heard me say that numbers of times. Yet, sorry, so many, they never put it there. They think that's a cool thing said. I'm sorry. Where is it in your life? Where is it? Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. You know how many ministers I've talked to that went to other countries and that stuff and came back serious ailments and really messed up their lives? Well, they don't put those things first, and you go and the devil does a number. I've talked to more ministers, and I said, boy, traveler, you really got to be careful going overseas. They've lived this thing out. They've lived it. They have not. But no. God, I've had people, I never get going down to Peru. When I went down to Peru on a mission trip, that time the communist insurgency was going on down there. They were called, I say, something light. They were the name of them. And that stuff was going on, and it was on the news here and that stuff. And then the Lord said about going down. And I had some people say to me, well, do you feel safe about going down there and that stuff, all this stuff going on down there? And I said, you think God sent me down there to kill me? I said, wouldn't he be a fool? But see, these are Christians talking. You know, I didn't choose to go there. He decided to send me there. That's what he said to do. Well, it's like me. I don't think anything of that. And over time, people have said to me about certain things. Well, doing this, do you think you ought to be, what about this and what? God told me to do it. This is what I'm doing. See, this is what I know about them. As soon as they're talking, they ain't going to follow God. They're going to follow their own, what they think of safety and what their own things are that, you know. They're going to follow their own ideas of things. I'm going to take care of me. Well, that's good. You're going to have a lot of trouble because one day you're going to run into things that you can't take care of and you're going to live with it. You see, you need to come to the place and say, put the brakes on. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom and whatever should I be afraid? I have no fear of sickness and disease. I have no fear of it. Now, the reason I don't is because God's word in me has driven out the fear of that. It don't come out any other way. It don't come out because you believe the word of God. You come out because it's such a truth to you that it is so. I'm not afraid of sickness and disease. I'm not afraid of it. In fact, it's scared of me. It's from the devil, and the devil's scared of me. Because he knows who my big brother is. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching.
Amen.
And we're looking at this. We're coming to a place. God has a plan and purpose. I want us to find this because we go in this. God has a plan and purpose for the church to have more than enough money to carry out the plan of God this last day. It is going to cost bucks, you know. If we went back in the healing revivals of the 50s, how much it cost to run those revivals? Those guys didn't build those big tents. See, at that time, you didn't go find big buildings where people could go to. God gave money to build those big tents, and they took the tents to the people. They went to the places and they used those things. They didn't do that on people who only tithe. They didn't do that. People gave into it. People gave into it, and it carried the message. The message going out is more important than anything. And when God sees that it's important to us, then for us, the fact of blessing in our lives is the easiest thing to walk into. It's simple. Hallelujah. So get yourself into it. This is why I say, let's change the way we think. Let's sit down and say, hey, look, God is the blesser. You get to the point where God will bless, He will take care of me, He will look out of me, where you become fearless. And that's where you come to. You become fearless. You're not afraid of what's going on, what's going to happen in this world and what people are doing. Hallelujah. Your God's more important to you than anything. Hallelujah. His care for you, you're so assured of it, you don't worry about nothing. You don't worry about things. He's looking after us. Hallelujah. When worry comes knocking on the door, you ain't fighting with it all night trying to get it off of you because you can't close your eyes. You can't go, well, this is happening. Oh, man, but you don't know what happened. This problem's in our family and that stuff. Yeah, that's right. You're the problem of the family because you're the person supposed to be in faith. But you know, you're amplifying the worry. You got the worry switch turned on, and that there, let me tell you, it sets an atmosphere. It sets an atmosphere. I ain't going to allow that. I ain't going to do that. I'm sorry. Amen. This is what worry is. It's not faith. It's unbelief. It may come to your mind, but don't you let it get into your heart. Amen. Don't you allow it to get... Because if you allow it to get inside of you, ugly's going to come out. Ugly's going to say, no, devil, you ain't running. You ain't running. I'll tell you, I've learned just lay in bed and quote the word. This is what the, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, you can't be quoting the word. And you know, when I'm using, it's hard to think on something else when your mouth's going saying something. See, when you're talking, I found out about the worriers. They're either silent or talking their worries. No, I talk about this is what God does. God, this is what God does. Hallelujah. I can trust Him. I don't care if I don't know what to do about a situation. Hallelujah. Say, God does. God knows the situation. I don't know. He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to look after Ed. My God. I'm going to tell you. He must have a problem looking at, because look, if He can look after, look, he's able. Now look, God is able to take care of everybody in this earth if they'll yield to Him. Everybody. You know, salvation's for everybody. It's not for a certain group. It's for everybody. So God is able to take care of everybody. So taking care of one person is a nothing. Taking care of you is a nothing. Don't you make it a big thing. It's not a big thing. Because God can take care of us all. Amen. And get it in your mind. It's a nothing to Him to take care of me. Amen. It's nothing hard. He don't even get a little sweat on His forehead. He ain't nervous about nothing. Hallelujah. Get yourself in thinking like that. We talk about big God. Well, what is your big thoughts of Him? Yep. Well, He's able to do this. No, my big thought is He will do it. This is the big thought. He'll do it. He'll take care of Ed. Amen. He don't take care of Ed because Ed's wonderful. He takes care of Ed because He's wonderful. Amen. He changes not. Amen. He don't ever get not wonderful. He does not ever get not merciful. He does never get not kind. He's always that. Amen. Hallelujah. So He will show those characteristics to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. You're big. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, you have big plan for us. Real big. Hallelujah. Lord God, the desires, Lord, there's things right now that are in us, Lord God, that we see it in ourselves. And Lord, looking ahead, there's a glory. Sometimes, Lord God, when you get over in the Spirit, you can just see it out there. You can see that glory. Lord God, it's a place you can almost touch it. And Father God, Lord, you're taking us to that place where that's revealed. It's not something we see in the distance. And Lord God, we're just walking with you. Lord, we just got the step at a time. Hallelujah. But we're moving in that direction. Lord God, and we're stepping from glory to glory. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. Lord God, Lord, that place has the fulfillment of your perfect will. And Father God, we're moving right in that direction. Hallelujah. And that's your plan for us. Hallelujah. In that is all the things that would satisfy everything in our life. And it's not all just a bunch of natural junk. Lord God, it is heaven on earth. It is your glory and perfect will being done. That men are walking in a place of rest and peace that can only be done by a supernatural God. And Lord God, that's our place. And I want to thank you that, Lord God, you're taking us to walking in a greater and greater rest all the time, this greater and greater glory. And Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful Holy Spirit who's the one opening up the Word to us. And I pray, Lord God, I pray for each one of us, Father, that the Word gets more and more revealed. As we go to it, Lord God, Lord, it's a place of eating and drinking for our spirit, Lord God, that Lord is such a delight. It's a place, Lord God, of wonder and peace and a wonderful God that is so great and so good. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that fear is far from us. Hallelujah. But glory is right here with us. I thank you, Lord God, we're temples of God and the great Holy Spirit of God and His mighty power is working in us. Our bodies are quickened and alive in the name of Jesus. Our minds are clear. Hallelujah. We comprehend. We're not slow to understand. We're quick to understand. Hallelujah. Our minds are clear, Lord God. Our thoughts are perfect towards you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we delight in comprehending and understanding your word and putting our thoughts on it. It's the place of our rest and peace. And we thank you, Father God. Father, it's the place we always long to walk and long to be, Lord God, to think on you. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is. And we thank you, Father. Your word is mighty and it will always put us over. It will always work great in us. It will demonstrate its glory and its miracles and its delivering power always toward us. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.